Last week, we spent some time reflecting, didn't we? I encouraged us all to think about how it felt last year. Was it a good year? Was it a bad year? Have you moved forward? What would you feel? You've kind of slipped back in things. And how do you feel spiritually? These are the things I asked us to think about. Do you feel closer to God now than this time last year? Or do you feel like you've kind of left things drift? You feel a little bit further apart? Asked us to think about the year ahead of us. Do you feel excited or bored? Do you feel energetic, full of the, you know, the kind of get up and go, yeah, I'm ready to face this year? Or do you feel like, oh, another year, just, you know, just the thought of it kind of just drains the life, you know, out through your feet? You know, are you full of faith and expectation, overflowing with God's words and promises? Or do you feel anxious, doubtful, fearful? And these, you know, I asked us to think about. We had a great time Wednesday night, those of you at home group, where many of us were just able to share about how we were feeling and what God has done in our lives. And in all of this, reflecting, you know, what the thing I felt God was saying to us last week was found in Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. It says, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. As for you, continue." And it was that word, continue. Say it with me. Continue. Ah, we did it much better last week. So that word, continue, that I encourage us to really think about, that no matter what has hit us last year or what maybe we faced in the year ahead, what God wants us to do is to continue. Continue in what? It's really to continue in that scripture, to continue in what we've learned from God. Continue in Him. Continue walking with God. Well, this week I want to develop this a little bit further, and I want to explore the scripture that Helen actually read last week in the middle of the meeting. And it's a beautiful scripture, it's a scripture that's always meant a lot to me, and it's in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading out of the NIV in this case, and it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers." Beautiful. Now, before I get into my 3 points, and I know I made a resolution last week, I wasn't going to do a 3-point sermon, but, you know, I'm never very good at keeping resolutions, so we have a 3-point sermon, I'm afraid, today. But before I get to those 3 points, I want to explore that very first word in that verse there, which is blessed. Okay, blessed. I mean, we use this word all the time. Oh, bless, we say when, you know, something's nice happening. Or, you know, we just want people to be blessed. What does blessed mean? Strange word, isn't it? But tell me, throw some words at me. Blessed, what does blessed mean?
Protected by God.
Protected by God, it does mean that, yes. Anything else? It means a lot of things, yes.
Being a good place.
What else?
Provided for,
all these things. It's an example. I mean, in one sense, it means consecrated and holy. But actually, the word blessed, if you look at Vine's dictionary or something like that, it says, you know, the most common context of the word blessed is this idea that God, a super being, but God in our case, you know, imparts happiness and prosperity and protection and covering on us, and that's what blessed means. In fact, in this verse, you know, in this scripture, there's probably a good example of what blessed means, where it says, you know, it's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. And so in this idea of reflecting, I might ask you another question, which is, do you feel in the year just gone, do you feel that year is a blessed year? Do you feel blessed in that sense of, you know, God has truly imparted his grace and favour in your life? You know, are
you blessed? Thing you can just think about. I'm not asking you to answer me now, but think about, you know, was last year blessed? And because it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, happy, 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 we know that in our lives, tough things can happen. You know, we can have, you know, great sadnesses occur, but still feel blessed. You know, these things aren't actually incompatible, because being blessed is something that happens on the inside of us. It creates a joy in God in spite of our circumstances. You know, are you blessed? And as we think about the year ahead, I might ask, you know, is there anything we can do to ensure that the year ahead of us, when we get to the end and we look back, we will say, I was blessed this year. I was blessed. What can we do to really, you know, ensure that happens? So in this scripture, I think there are three things that can help us to ensure that we are blessed, truly blessed in the sense that that God means it. And it's these words, I highlight them there. I'm going to say sit, walk, stand. Okay, sit, walk, stand. I say it that way because somehow it doesn't feel right. Walk, stand, sit. It doesn't kind of roll off the tongue. It just doesn't feel right. But sit, walk, and stand, I think, are the words that I really want to emphasize this morning. And particularly in that order, sit, walk, stand, because actually, you know, if anyone's been around a long time, and not pointing at anyone in particular, but John, we will know, and I include myself in this, we will know of a very famous book by a guy called Watchman Nee. He wrote this book in 1957. He was thrown in prison for his faith. But he wrote this tremendous book called Sit, Walk, Stand, which was actually a study into the book of Ephesians. And I'm not going to be expanding on the book of Ephesians. I'm not going to be taking all the points that Watchman Nee tried to make in that in his book. But he said this. He said, the Christian life consists of sitting with Christ, walking by him, and standing in him. We begin our spiritual life by resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. That rest is the source of our strength for a consistent and unfaltering walk in the world. And at the end of a grueling warfare with the hosts of darkness, we are found standing with him at last in triumphant procession of the field. Isn't that great? Amazing. That's just, you know, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You know, and I could sit down now and you know, and you've probably got enough to take away with you to meditate on, and it'll make a difference. But I'm not going to sit down just now because I have a fair bit more to say. And I'm going to, my points really are three questions. Where am I sitting? Where am I walking, or how am I walking? Where am I standing? Okay, these are three questions, and it's something for us all to think about, and hopefully even after this morning, we'll go away and we'll think about them some more and ask ourselves these questions. Let's look at the first one. Where am I sitting? Now, sitting is really about kind of relaxing, isn't it? It's how we rest, it's how we rejuvenate ourselves, it's how we recharge. You know, when we're worn out, it's good to sit down. The question is, you know, how do you typically recharge yourself? You know, what do you like to do to relax and get, you know, and just feel like get your energy back? Do you like vegetating in front of the TV, watching, you know, endless American soaps? Maybe you like to go down the pub for a pint or two and chat with all your mates. Maybe you lock yourself away somewhere quiet and get a good book out and just lose yourself in a good book. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with any of these things in and of themselves. They're fine. The question is, how do you recharge yourself spiritually? How do you recharge yourself in God? How do you get yourself back into that feeling strong place in the Lord Jesus? And I say here, look, you know, we won't get from the world what we need to live day by day an overcoming life in Jesus. You don't get it on the telly, you won't get it even from books you read, you will get it from the Word of God. You know, how do you rejuvenate yourself? You know, where we sit does matter. It really does. You know, who's ever bought tickets for a show, you know, a theatre or a football match or something? You know, who've bought tickets? Now, putting price aside, you know, what do you think about most of all when you buy tickets for something? Where you're sitting, you know, what view you've got, what am I going to experience if I buy this seat versus that seat? It really matters to us. It was really interesting last year when I went to Nathan's passing out parade, and Nathan had told me where to sit. He, you know, sent me a text, and I'd kind of just got a little bit confused when I was looking at where to sit, and I sat down. And to my horror, I realised when they all came in and they were stood in the big yard, you know, there was this monstrosity of some sort of stadium, wooden thing, wooden platform, that was kind of right in my view between where I was sitting and where Nathan was standing. Real pain. It all worked out well in the end because actually Nathan got a special award, and when he came and collected the award, I was right there. I mean, it was really close. And so, I was thanking God. But where you sit really matters. I feel sorry for people who sit behind Dave. You know, here he is, sat on the front row, right? If anybody sat right behind him, I'm not going to see anything, are they? And that's, you know, that's... But think about it in terms of Jesus. Do we think about where we sit in order to get the best view and the best experience of God? Our lives get so cluttered up. It's like sitting in front of things, you know, all these other things get in the way, and we just don't get a good view of God. And you might want to look this way and stand on our tiptoes. But our view is blocked because we clutter our lives up so much with things that just get in the way. Watchman Nee says this. He says, sitting with Christ, I read this, sitting with Christ is the source of a strength for a consistent and unfaltering walk in the world. Sitting with Christ. You know, it's hard to walk if you don't first learn to sit. And I'm talking about this spiritually now. You know, we all want to go out there and walk and run and do mighty things for Jesus. But it starts as we sit. Every day we need to find time to sit with Jesus. We need to meditate on him. We need to draw close to his presence. We need to just feed on God. How many of us own smartphones? Oh, most of you know these kind of things. Yeah. We all love our smartphones. You know, if we go out of the house without our phone, God, I feel like we've lost a limb, don't we? You know, it's terrible. You know, did you know, years ago, we didn't have mobile phones. Did you know years ago we used to go out and we didn't have a phone in our pockets? Mind-blowing. How on earth we ever managed to live? But it's true. But whatever the technical details of your phone says, you know as well as I do, it typically only lasts a day. Really, doesn't it? Unless you're really lucky and you don't do very much with your phone, but, you know, the youth here are probably on the phone all the time. By the end of the day, your phone is probably flagging. The battery is low, and you know that when you go to bed, if you want to use your phone in the morning, you need to plug it in and charge it up. So when you get up in the morning, you can take hold of your phone and off you go for another day. And if you forget, oh, it's panic, isn't it? If you're forgetting to charge your phone, what am I going to do? You know, I've got to go out all this time, and my phone's going to run out of charge. I mean, imagine going on holiday for 2 weeks and you forget to pack your charger. I mean, that just must be the end of the world, doesn't it? Just terrible, terrible. Just can't cope. And yet, that's how we live with Jesus. It is. It's how we live day by day with Jesus. You know. We think about plugging our phones in every day because we can't live without our phone. But how many of us, every single day, plug ourselves into Jesus so spiritually we charge ourselves up and we're ready to face the day? And that is really what we need to do. We need to sit in his presence, just like Mary sat at the feet of Jesus those many years ago, and she just sat there and fed on every single word that came out of Jesus' mouth. We need to sit in the presence of Jesus. Now, how do we do it? Let me just give you a few practical tips rather than just be a bit of theory. You know, there are lots of practical things we do. I know many of us, and this includes myself, we try to read through the Bible, the entire Bible, in a year. I said, well, how could you possibly do that? Well, actually, it's quite doable. It really is doable, and I've done it many years. And I don't get legalistic about it. If I slip behind, you know, I then don't spend a whole day trying to catch up. I just skip a little bit, and I'll catch up. But my intention is I commit myself to reading the Bible every year. And, you know, there's a little URL there, www.bible.com. Recommend to try it out. That's a Bible called YouVersion. It works on all phones, you know, iPhones, Samsung phones. It'll work on your laptop. And you know, it has loads of versions of Bibles. And on that program, you can set up a reading plan. And you can get it to email your next reading plan for the every day. There's lots of things you can do, but you know if that's just I can't possibly do that. I don't have time. Well, I'm not here to kind of ram it down your throat. Well, let's just try some daily reading notes. UCB are great. I love dipping into UCB. I don't read them every single day, but every now and then, you know, I read UCB. I'm subscribed to UCB, so I actually have the UCB daily reading come into my inbox every day. Most days I read it, I don't read it every day. There are other ones there. ODB stands for Our Daily Bread, www.odb.org. Great things. If you can't do that, but really I think you need to do one of those, you know, maybe commit yourself. We could do this in addition to just listen to one Christian song every day. Just one. It'll make a massive difference to you, I promise. Just because it will feed you with an expression of loving God and how wonderful God is. You know, and there are other things. You know, when I was a child, my gran used to have a promise box. I don't know whether you can even get them these days. Honestly, I don't. But there was a little box, a little rolled up verses, and you pulled one out and it had a little promise on it. If you can get one, you know, make the most of it, because it feeds you with the promise, you know, with the words of God. Sometimes you get Christian calendars, you just tear off a verse every day. These are just simple examples, and there's probably many other things there. But listen, doing something is a big step forward than doing nothing. And if you want to make any New Year's resolution, then one of the most important New Year's resolutions you can make really today is to do one of these things. Say, I am going to commit to sitting in the presence of Jesus, that I may charge myself up so that I am ready to face the day in him. Where am I sitting? Where am I sitting? Am I sitting in the seat of scoffers, or am I sitting at the feet of Jesus? Okay, where am I walking? Well, walking is about everyday life. It's about living. You know, how are you walking? How is your walk with God? Psalm 1 says, don't walk in step with the wicked. In many other translations, it phrases it like this. It says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, in the counsel of. Now, where, again, another question for us to think about, where do you typically default to for direction and advice, you know, wisdom? Now, what or who influences your life the most in terms of, you know, how you feel about things and the things that you do and the choices that you make? You know, where do these influences come from? Are they your friends, your peers? Are they celebrities? Is it just traditions? Is it the latest trends? Or is it Google? You know, you want to know something? Google it. That's what we all do, isn't it? You know, and is that where all your sorts of direction and life and choices come from? Because you Google it. Interesting questions, aren't they? You know, where do they come from? Am I more concerned about what the world thinks of me than what God thinks about me? Am I in a rut? I just go through the motions of life day after day, lacking any real sense of purpose or direction or destiny. Now, I know they're strong questions, but you know, sometimes it's really good. You know, we are reflecting. Last week we reflected. This week I'm encouraging us still, you know, to reflect. And you know, if we're honest with ourselves, then God has half a chance of doing something with us. The truth is, We need to walk the talk. You know, we can come to church week in, week out, but unless we go home and put it into practice and walk the talk, then, you know, it's pointless. How do we walk the talk? Or how do we even recognize that we are walking the talk? Or how does somebody else recognize in us that we are walking the talk? Well, the scripture that we're studying this morning in Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is he whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night." There again, you see, spending time with Jesus. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Does that describe you? Does that describe your typical, you know, living standard spiritually? That, you know, your leaves are green, you're fruitful, you're not withering, you're prosperous, prosperous spiritually. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And in the same way, as I encourage us to, you know, to spend time with Jesus and to just meditate on the word of God, you know, the word we've been singing a lot this morning in our worship about wanting to know Jesus more. Well, you know, as well as knowing Jesus more, you know, we can know what Jesus wants. We can get direction and help in decisions that we need to make from, you know, soaking ourselves in the word of God. And if you're void of the word of God, you know, if you just never pick up the Bible, you're going to find it hard to walk the talk. You need to root yourself in the word of God. I like the way the NIV put it, actually. It's, you know, it's about keeping in step with. So do not walk in step with. Do not walk in step with the wicked. But we do need to walk in step with God. How can we walk in step with God? Unless we know what it is he wants. And this is a daily thing. You can't just sort of go to God and then, you know, ignore him for a month. In step means what it says. In step. Now that step. Now that step. Now that step. You're walking so close with God, you really feel him with you. Every step of the way, you know, there's a conscious sense of the presence of God walking with you. Walking in step with him and not in the world is key to living an overcoming life. Watchman Nee puts it this way. He says, this all-important rule is not to try, but to trust. Not to depend on our own strength, but upon his. Listen to this. Too many of us are caught acting as Christians. The life of many Christians today is largely a pretense. They live a spiritual life, talk a spiritual language, adopt a spiritual attitude, but they're doing the whole thing themselves. In other words, I would say they're just talking the talk. They're not walking the talk. They're sort of going through the motions. They're doing all the right things. You know, we come to church, we go to home group, we go to youth. We might pray a prayer, we might sing some songs. But somehow, we're just doing it like any guy from the street might do it. It's not in our heart and in our spirit like it really ought to be. We're not walking the talk, we're just talking the talk. He goes on to say, have we discovered how good the Lord is? Then in us, he's as good as that. Is his power great? Then in us, it is no less great. Praise God. His life is as mighty as ever. And in the lives of those who dare to believe the word of God, the divine life will be manifest in a power not one whit less mighty that was manifest of old. Bit of old language there, but basically what it's saying is, you know, if you soak yourself in the word of God and if you can get a revelation and understanding how wonderful, how powerful, mighty God is, that wonderful, powerful God is in you and you can have the same. But it only comes from revelation. You can't just, you know, kind of just kind of know it like a fact. You've got to know it in your knower, a heart, and that only comes from truly, truly spending life, you know, spending time with God. I could put it even another way. Again, a question. How different do you think your life is, the way you live, compared to the person who lives across the road? or compared to your average peer group at school, or other people that you work with? Is your life, is the way that you live, different? Noticeably different? The way you deal with situations, the way you face challenges, the way you overcome disappointment. Are you a glass half full person, or you're always a glass, you know, half empty person? You know, what do people see when they look at you? Do they just see someone just like all the rest? Or when they look at you, they wonder, what is it about this person? What is it I see? Why are they different? Are you walking the talk? I really believe if you're walking the talk, then when people look at you, they see Jesus, because you're walking the talk. You're not just like everybody else. The trouble is, for many of us, and it's sad to say, and I'd argue the same for myself, the trouble is, for many of us, our lives are just no different, actually, to the average person around us. We behave just the same, we do all the same things, and we feel all the same emotions, and we don't have any great sense of victory and overcoming, and it's not how it should be. We should be truly, truly walking the talk. In the same way as I've encouraged all of us to reflect over the last year, you know, I've reflected as well over this last year. In fact, I've reflected over the last few years for my own life. And it's hard sometimes, you know. I look at how I find myself at the moment, and this is being vulnerable here. I look at myself, and I've shared this with others, and I recognise that I've lost some of the passion, some of the excitement, some of the, take on the world in faith. You know, I've lost some of that I used to have, years ago. Is it my age? Well, I think age sometimes does have a factor in this, but I don't think it's really that. Not really. It's probably I'm not walking the talk as I should be walking the talk. It's probably I'm not really soaking myself enough in Jesus to charge myself in order to walk the talk, in order that I can have that vibrancy and excitement of faith that I knew that I used to be. And I want to be like that, because I know that's how God wants me to be. And it's hard, and I don't like not having the passion. I'm naturally a passionate person about things. And I share that with you because it's important sometimes to reflect and be honest and say, am I moving forward? Am I where God really, really wants me to be? It comes with, you know, being and walking step by step with God. I share this with you because this is a song that always meant a lot to me. And you know, it's in our songbook. We should sing it more often probably. Lord, I live by your word. Lord, I live by every word from your mouth. I'm like a tree by a stream. I'm bearing fruits, my leaf is green. All that I do is prospering, O Lord. I live by your word. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and water the earth and bring forth its fruit, listen to this, so shall be the word that you are speaking. It will not return empty you. It shall accomplish your desire. It will surely succeed. Your word transforms the desert, and your word is changing me. If you want to be changed by God, if you want to walk the talk, then we need to live by the word of God. We need to soak ourselves in the word of God. You can, really, you can do this. Song says, though, you can do it. You really can walk the talk. It's not for the spiritual elite. It's for you and me. We can walk the talk. Am I walking in the path of the ungodly, in the counsel of the ungodly, or am I walking in the word of God? Finally, where am I standing? Well, what's standing all about? For me, standing is about taking a position. You know, we take our stand. We make a stand. You know, when we spend time sitting with Jesus and we soak ourselves in the word and will of God, and then we start walking the talk, you know, if you truly walk the talk, sooner or later, you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're going to have to take a stand, because unfortunately it is a consequence of walking the talk. If you walk the talk, you're going to find yourself in a position that you need to take a stand, because the world and the kingdom of God are in opposition to each other. The one is driven by Satan, as we know, and one is driven by God. And from time to time, we have to take a stand. At time to time, we have to make decisions. We have to make choices. It might be choices about where we go, who we spend time with, who we go out with, things that we do. Sooner or later, we have to make a choice. Everyone around you wants you to do one thing, peer pressure again. Oh no, come on, do this, it's the right thing to do. But in your heart of hearts, you feel no. Somehow inside me, I don't think that's what God wants. That's not what I should do. What are you going to do? Are you just going to go with all your friends, your peer group, follow that path? Or are you going to take a stand? And it's a decision time. It's a decision time. What are you going to do? You know, it is time to take a stand, and the choice is yours. You can stand in the path of sinners, like the psalm says, or you can stand on the word of God. Only one really, really, truly brings blessing. And then these can be tough decisions. You know, the Bible says, you know, if you follow Jesus, you're going to face persecution. It's promised us that. You know, when you take a stand, you get persecution. But it says in Isaiah 7, verse 9 there, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So you can sit with Jesus and you can walk the talk, but when you come to those critical moments in time when God requires you to stand, if you don't stand, you're going to find yourself just spiraling down again. Because Jesus requires us to take a stand, to make a stand. It's the way we grow. It's the way we become strong, by standing firm in your faith. And if you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all. Our lives are punctuated with decisions, choices, crossroads. We must stand firm in our faith and live by his word and will. Otherwise, we'll not be able to stand. And apathy and deferring decisions all time and time and time again. I can't decide now. I don't want to decide now. That's not the way. Sometimes we just simply have to stand. So, sit, walk, stand. Where am I sitting? Where am I walking? Where am I standing? It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You know, there may be some here this morning that actually have never done, as Watchman Nee says, you know, as I read out earlier, you've never begun your spiritual life by resting in the finished work of Jesus. That's where it all starts. You know, that's what becoming a Christian is all about, is resting, sitting in the finished work of Jesus, knowing that Jesus has paid the price, he's done the work, and all we need to do is receive him by faith and say, Jesus, I believe, and we sit and we rest in the finished work of Jesus, and that's when it starts. That's where it starts. Now, if you want to know more about what it means to sit, walk, stand in Jesus, then just come and chat to me after the meeting. Amen.